We're holding on Nun Zayin Amr Aleph, the 10th line. The line begins Zimna. We're talking about that we said the Kohen Gadol is sprinkling the now that the Kohen Gadol did the sprinklings in the Kodesh Kedoshim, now he goes and sprinkles the blood of the par and then the blood of the sor in the heichol in front of the pareches. So the Gemara says Tana, we learn in a brisa. When he's doing the sprinkling, he doesn't sprinkle actually on the pareches, just in front of it. The same way as we said before that when he sprinkles in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood doesn't have to land on the kapodos, it just has to be in front of it. The same way over here, it just has to be in front of the pareches, not necessarily on it. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, says, I saw the pareches in Rome, where the Romans had taken it after the Churban, and there were on it many drops of blood from the par and sor of Yom Kippur. So therefore, in other words, he's saying necessarily it has to touch. Now, the Chachamim are not going to say that he's lying. They're going to say, very well, you saw that it had drops of blood on it. How we know it's from the par and sor of Yom Kippur, the Gemara is going to ask right now. But in any case, and show how he knows. But in any case, they're going to say, very well, there was blood of the par and sor of Yom Kippur on it. That doesn't show that necessarily it had to be done that way. Sometimes it would happen by accident that some of the blood would land on it, but not necessarily that it has to. So the Gemara says, V'dumah de par helam davar shel tzibur resida avodah zarah havu. How do you know that the blood on there is from that? Maybe it's from, there are other korbanos that we say that the blood also has to be sprinkled in the kodesh. Namely, the par helam davar shel tzibur, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in psak halacha, and se'iri avodah zarah, when that psak halacha is regarding something of avodah zarah, and they mistakenly were matir something of avodah zarah for the Jewish people. So how do you know then that these drops of blood are not from that, which also have to be sprinkled in the heichol in front of the pareches? And the answer is the chazad da avidi kasidran. The answer is, Rabbi Elazar, says that he saw them in order. Now, what does that mean? We said the other day that Rashi holds that the drops of blood from the from that, that Rashi said we learned the other day that Rashi says that the drops of blood from the from the par and the sor of Yom Kippurim are supposed to be in a line. You have the first one, the achas lamaila is furthest away from him, and then the sheva lamata are closer and closer to him. So then, according to that, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, he saw that on the pareches over here. He saw that the drops are in a line like that. Therefore, he knew that they had to be from the korbanos of Yom Kippur, because by the other ones, by the par and sor of by the par helam davar and the sidi avodah zarah, you don't necessarily need that. According to everybody else who says that they don't need to be in a straight line like that, nevertheless, there's the fact. Later on, we're going to talk about when he does the sprinkling, the power of the power of the ponim and Israfim, of the power halam davar on the Siri avodah zarah, he's not standing right in front of the pareches. On Yom Kippur, he's standing right in front of the pareches and doing the hazoz. When he does the other ones, he's standing actually on the other side of the mizbeach hazahav. So therefore, he's a considerable distance away from the pareches, and therefore, it's highly unlikely that, or much less likely, that any of the blood is going to reach there in the first place. And if it does, it's not going to be in one place. It's going to be, as the Gemara is going to say soon, scattered all over the place. So when he saw blood that was all in one place over there, not necessarily in a line like Rashi says, but one on top of the other, then he knows it's from Yom Kippur. So again, the Chachamim are going to say all that means is occasionally it could happen that the blood lands there. But Rabbi Yossi is going to say, listen, you know, if that's the case, you wouldn't have found so much of it. It's not how many times would that have happened that he accidentally sprinkles it on the pareches itself? It must be that it has to be done that way. And mind you, I mean, we learned in Shkolim actually that the pareches was replaced twice a year, which then raises the question, how is it that we see that there were many drops of blood on it from the sprinklings of Yom Kippur? So one possibility is that actually he may have seen a collection of pareches in over there. But Pashtos, when they replaced the pareches, they didn't throw out the old one. They probably put it in Gniza or something. So eventually now, when the Romans conquered and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, they probably found a cache of old pareches in over there, and they had them all on display in Rome. So then, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is saying that he saw that. Another possibility is the Poreichas that we said that they replace twice a year may not have been the one between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather one of the other Poreichas. As we said the other day, there were 13. As we learned previously, there were 13 Poreichas in different places in the Beis Mikdash, on the gates and on the door of the Ulam and so forth. So it could well be that those are the ones that they say, in particular the one in front of the Ulam that they replace twice a year. Now, when it comes to the par helam dover, we have a similar braisa. It says also, when he's sprinkling the blood of the par helam dover on the siri avodizara, they do not have to touch the parechas. But if they touch, then fine. And they touch, it's not ma'akiv. And again, again, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, I saw the Poreichas in Rome. And there were many drops of blood on it from such korbanos. And again, the question is, so how does he know those drops are from the par helam dover and sira avodizara? Maybe they're from the par v'sari of Yom Kippur. And the answer is the opposite of previously. The chazanu da'avidi shaloika sidran. Here he saw that they were shaloika sidran, that they were not in an order; they were just sprinkled randomly. Well, again, according to Rashi, they weren't in a row, which they have to be according to him. According to everybody else, they were random, showing, in other words, that they were done from a distance of a couple of dozen amas from the mizbeach hazahav, from behind the mizbeach hazahav. Then, therefore, they didn't land in any particular pattern. Tosfos actually asks the question that which in the second Beis Mikdash was there even a par helam dover shel tzibur? On the face of it, Tosfos says only a kohen who's anointed with shemen amishcha can offer such a korban. And in the second Beis Mikdash, he didn't have such a kohen gadol. And the answer is that no. What we mean is only a kohen mashiach brings the par when he himself makes a mistake in halacha. But if the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha and paskin wrongly on behalf of the Jewish people, then yes, the korbanos for that are brought by any kohen gadol, even if he's not mashiach b'shem and amishcha.
But he says he saw the paroches. That seems to indicate that it was the paroches of the Kodesh HaKodashim, not any paroches, because there was 13.
What we're saying is the paroches itself had to be replaced every so often. So the question is, how is he seeing it with many drops of blood on it? And one answer is, when we learned in Shkalim that they made two new paroches in every year, it doesn't necessarily mean that they replaced the one of the Kodesh HaKodashim. It could mean that they replaced the other ones, the one in front of the Ulam and the various other ones, not necessarily was the one between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim replaced that often. So there could have been, it could have hung there for years and had different drops of blood on it. Or again, another possibility is he means when he says the Poreichas, he means he saw a collection of each one of them had been the Poreichas in its time, and a bunch of them had blood stains on them.
But then he would have said a Poreichas. Why did he say the parochas?
Suggest some random parochas. He saw the parochas, as in the one that hung between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But there were different parochas in at different times.
Okay, fine. But amongst those at different times, they were all from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right?
That's what we're saying. But he has to use the word the parochas, meaning, in other words, he doesn't even use the word the parochas anyway. He says, Aniri isi ha. I saw it. So it, meaning he saw a parochas, or he saw the parochas that was in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he may have seen, there may have been more than one over there. There may have been more than one that he saw. So when he says, he means he saw one or more of the parochas that had hung there at different times.
He would have said, "Anura isias es pareches," not "es ha pareches."
He didn't say "es ha pareches." That's the thing. He didn't. He just said, "Anura isias ha." I saw it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Which is
yeah. Okay. So fine. Anyway, there's different explanations of how that could be. Bichlal, we know that the Gemara has the Gemara in Zvachim talks about extensively the din that if you have a piece of clothing that blood has landed on it, then from a pchatas, then you have to wash it in the Kodesh. So why is it that they wouldn't have had to wash it over here? And one answer is that's only if blood accidentally sprinkled on it, as opposed to, according to the laws of Rabbi Yossi, it had to be on there. And even according to the Chachamim, it's sprinkled right in front of there, and there's no problem if it lands on there. Okay. How he saw it in Rome in the first place, by the way, how does he come to see a treasure like that in Rome? Rashi brings the story from Me'ilah that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and Reb Elazar Reb Yossi had gone together to Rome to be mevachel gzeira against the Jewish people. While they were there, they met up with a shed who assisted them by possessing the emperor's daughter. And then when they went and cured her by getting the shed to leave, then the emperor was very grateful and told them they can go into his treasury and see and take whatever they want. And they in what they actually saw and took over there was the paper with the gzera, and they ripped it up. But meanwhile, while they were there, they got to see the various treasures, the various things of the Beis Hamikdash that had been looted and were kept there. All right. The Gemara asks, Nis'arvaloi damim b'damim. Now, so we said that the Kohen Gadol has the bowl of blood of the power and the bowl of blood of the Sayer, and the way it's supposed to be working again. So he has like this. There's the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then there's the sprinklings in the Heichel. And then after that, we're going to talk about later on, there's also the sprinklings on the Mizbeach HaZohar, which we'll get to that later. So the question is, Nis'arvaloi damim b'damim. What happens if the blood from the par and the sayer got blended together? Now Rashi uses the expression that this happened before he applied any of the sprinklings of blood in bifnim. Now bifnim on the face of it means the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which leads Rishonim to ask, how is that possible? He doesn't even shech the sur. We had before, he didn't shech the sur until he was finished with the sprinklings of blood of the pyre. And in that case, there's no two bowls of blood to get mixed up. And as we're going to learn later on Daf Samach, if he does things out of order, then the avodah is possible. So how is it possible that he could be mixing them up before he even put any blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So in fact, many of the Mephoshim say that it doesn't mean that. It means that they got blended together after he's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim before he starts in the Heichel. Where by the time he starts in the Heichel, yeah, both of them have been shechted. And for Rashi, we can say either that Rashi means bifnim, he does mean in the Heichel, or maybe conceivably Rashi holds that the order in which the Sur is shechted is not one of those things that's ma'akiv, because after all, it takes place outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to talk about that point later when we have the sugya on Daf Samach, Samach Aleph, about what has to be done in what order. Okay. Anyway, so what happens now if the blood got blended together? What does he do as far as the hazois now? Omar Rava. So Rava says, Noisen achas l'mayla v'sheva l'mata. What he does is he takes the contents of that bowl, he applies it achas l'mayla v'sheva l'mata, v'oiloloi l'kan l'kan. And it counts as both the blood of the pyre and the blood of the sur, because after all, there is blood of the pyre mixed in over there, and there is blood of the sur mixed in over there. So Rava takes the view, even though the Torah tells us that the blood of the pyre has to be done before the blood of the sur, Rava says all that means is you can't be doing the blood of the sur after, you can't be doing the blood of the all the applications of the blood of the sur before those of the pyre. It has to be pyre then sur. But if you're doing them at the same time, Rava would say that's not a problem. Because at the same time, as long as you're not doing them out of order, then doing them at the same time is fine. However, Amrua Kameh de Rabbi Yirmiyah, they told over what Rava had said in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omar, and he said, Bavloi Tipshoi, the foolish people of Bavel, Mishum de Dairi Ba'ara de Chashecha, Amri Shmaita de Mechashchan, because they live in a dark country, Bava, which is a very low-lying country, unlike Eretz Yisrael, which is mostly mountainous, Amri Shmaita de Mechashchan, they say Gemara statements that are dark. In other words, they just make up reasons without understanding it. Mind you, Rabbi Yirmiyah himself had originally been from Bavel, but in Bavel itself, he had been a mediocre Talmud. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he became one of the great Chachamim. So he was one of those people who's always praising the greatness of Eretz Yisrael as developing from the Chachamim and putting down Bavel because his own experience taught him that Bavel doesn't necessarily produce such Chachamim. The Rambam actually has a tshuva about that. I mean, don't we have, you know, the halacha is like the Bavli. We have in many places in Shas, we have great Chachamim from Bavel. So actually, the Rambam explained that there were different periods in history in that. There were times in Bavel where they had to deal with, there was religious persecution over there. There was a period of time when the kings of Persia were persecuting the Jews. Where in Bava Metzia, for example, it tells how Rabbah was pursued and persecuted by government agents and eventually passed away in a swamp there. So during those times, then, is when Rabbi Yirmiyah is talking about that in Bavel, they don't know how to learn properly. But later on, in later times, things improved in Bavel. The kings were leaving them alone, and the Chachamim were able to reach much greater heights. And that's the period when we say, for example, the time of Rav Ashi, that from Moshe, from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi until his time, there had never been Torah or Gdullah b'makom echad. So eventually things improved. And the time that we're talking about over here, when Rava had said this, and when Rabbi Yirmiyah is in Eretz Yisrael, then he dismissed it. He said they're just making things up. They don't know what they're not able to learn on a high enough level. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Haka yohiv l'mayla desur mikami matha depar." After all, it comes out that some of the applications of blood of the sur Lamaila are being done before the ones Lamata of the Pyre. In other words, the proper order is supposed to be Lamaila of the Pyre, Lamata of the Pyre, Lamaila of the Sur, Lamata of the Sur of the Pyre. Like this, you have when you're doing the first application, Lamaila, and you have in it blood of the Pyre and of the Sur, it comes out that you're doing the Lamaila of the Sur before the Mata of the Pyre. And it doesn't work that way. The Pasuk says he should finish accomplishing kapara for the Kodesh, implying kala dama par v'achaka kala dama sir. First finish with the blood of the par, and only then start on the blood of the sir. So Rava's method is not going to work, because it comes out then that he's doing the sir, that you're arguing, Rava, that fine, you're doing some parts of the sir side by side with the par, but it comes out now that the what you're doing, the lamaila, which is supposed to count for both the par and the sir, is taking place before the lamata of the par. That doesn't work. Now, Tosfos points out that we have learned before, and we're going to learn again later on Daf Samach Aleph, that because the Torah says Chukah, because the Torah says Chukas Olam at the end of the Parasha of Yom Kippur, that teaches us that everything has to be done in order. So why over here do we all of a sudden need a separate pasuk to teach us the same point? So Tosfos says, because the Chukas would teach us if you did all the sprinklings of the Sur before the Par, then it's no good. But we wouldn't know if, let's say, you did some of them before the power, that it shouldn't be good. Therefore, we need the Pasuk Mechila Mikaper to tell us that even that is also a problem. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that wouldn't work. Ela Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, here's what you do. Noisen Achas L'mayla V'shev L'matha L'shem HaPar. What you do is, from this mixed blood, he sprinkles one up and seven down, having in mind that this is for the power. Then he does one up and seven down, having in mind the sir. So in that way, all the applications that he has in mind for the par are all being done before the ones that he has in mind for the sir. And the assumption is, by the way, the assumption is that the blood has been thoroughly mixed. In other words, that any bit of blood that he dips his finger in and sprinkles is going to have in it some of one and some of the other. If we couldn't assume that, if we said ein bila, if we said that it can't be thoroughly, that it's not necessarily thoroughly mixed, then that wouldn't work anyway, because not necessarily is any particular application containing it in blood of the par or blood of the sir. But if we assume that yesh bila, if we assume that it was thoroughly mixed, then that works. Okay. Another case. Another case, Nisarvu Nisarvu Le Domin B'Domin B'Matonis HaAchroinus. What happens now? The previous case Rashi had explained was that he got them mixed up before he even did the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which we said Tosfos Yeshanim disagrees with that and says it means he got them mixed up before he starts the sprinklings in the Heichal. Now we have another case. What happens if the two bowls got mixed together by the Matonis HaAchroinus? So according to Rashi, Matonis HaAchroinus means after he had done at least one sprinkling lamaila of the pyre. And according to Tosfos Yeshanim, similarly, it means that that he had already done some of the sprinklings, lamaila and lamata, and then they got and then the blood got blended together. So what does he do? Suffered a papa, kamed Rava lamema. Rav Papa, who was a Talmud of Rava, thought to say, noisin sheva lamata l'shem pyre l'shem sir. What he should do is, he already did the achas lamaila of the pyre at this point. Therefore, what he should do is he should do the seven lamata, having in mind that it's for both the pyre and the sur, v'chozer v'noitz, and achas lamaila, l'shem sur, and then he'll do one lamaila, having in mind for the sur. Rav Papa had not heard of Rav Yumiya's objection to the previous one, but Rava, of course, had. So Omale Rava. So Rava says, "What are you talking about? Ad hashta korolon tipshoi. Look at this. Up until now, Rav Yumiya in Eretz Yisrael has been calling us foolish." Bavloi tipshoi, as he said before, for saying that in the previous case that we're going to sprinkle for that we're going to do sprinkling and it's going to count for both the pyre and the sur at the same time. Bahashta, now if he hears of this suggestion of yours, he's going to call us tipshoi to tipshoi, foolish fools. He's going to call us even greater fools. Become a gamrinin lahuv la gemiri. Rabbi Yemi is going to say, look at this. We're trying to teach them and they're not learning. Don't you have the same problem? After all, now you have the mata of the sur is going before the mila of the sur, because according to the papa's suggestion, we're saying we do lamata having in mind par and sur, then we're doing lamila, then we're doing lamila l'shem sur. So it comes out that you're doing the ones that are counting for lamata, the seven lamata of the sur are being done before the one lamila of the sur, and that doesn't work. Torah amar ten lamila v'achkach lamata. The Torah says you have to do it first above, then below. So your suggestion of Papa is not going to work. Ela, Amar Rava. So rather, Rava says what you do in this case is noisin sheva lamata l'shem par. He does seven lamata, having in mind that it's that having in mind that it's for the par. V'chozer v'noisin achas lamaila v'sheva lamata l'shem sur. Then he does one lamaila and sheva lamata, having in mind that it's a sir. Again, given that it's blended together, so therefore we assume again that every drop that he's going to pick up contains some blood of the pyre and some blood of the sir. So good. So what he does is he finishes off the sprinklings, having in mind that this is going to be for the sir. For the pyre, and then he does them again. Then he does the one lamaila and sheva lamata, having in mind that now he's doing it as the blood of the sur, given that there is blood of the sur here as well. Okay. So that's how he does it. Does the Torah say that the
sprinkling has to be of the mixture, or it has to be of each blood separately?
The point is, in this case, where it got mixed together, then in order not to have to, I mean, we could just say we're going to pass all the blood and go shecht a new power, a new soil.
That's right.
And so we don't want to have to do that. So first Rabbi Yumiya and then Rava are finding ways to avoid that, where we can say that b'dieved, we can use this mixed blood.
But the Torah never said that that's possible, that you sprinkle the mixture.
You have a similar concept when it comes in Zvachim. It talks about a case where we have blood of different korbanos mixed together, and what you do as far as applying it to the mizbeach. And you have also cases over there involving where you have different pieces of different korbanos that are mixed together, and what you do with them. So yes, even though the Torah doesn't say it, the Torah doesn't say explicitly a lot of things, but the Chachamim learn that there are certain things that we can do when you have mixtures like that. With b'dieved, you can do it. You have also. There's a discussion in different places in the Gemara: mitzvah tzriches kavana or mitzvah ein tzriches kavana. When you do a mitzvah, is it that it's only valid if you have a particular thing in mind, and not just, let's say, for example, imagine, for example, you just pick up a lulav and esrog without realizing what they are. are you yotze the mitzvah or not? If you just hear a shofar without realizing what you just heard, are you yotze or not? It's a discussion in the Gemara, mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not. So our Gemara over here, if we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana, then okay, right now he's having in mind it's only the par and ignoring the mixed blood of the sur with it, and vice versa when it comes to the sur. Even if we say mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, nevertheless, the point is here he's explicitly having in mind one and not the other, and therefore that can work. The fact is right now he is sprinkling blood of the par. There's blood of the sur mixed in with it. That doesn't matter for our purposes. And same thing when he goes to the blood of the sur. So therefore it can work. Now, it's true, it's not a lachatchiladika thing. And the next case that we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here points that out, that it's not a lachatchiladika thing that he should sprinkle that mixed blood. What we're talking about is b'diyeved, where it was mixed. What do we do in order to fix up the situation?
Who says it can be fixed? Even b'diyeved.
Rava had said it could be fixed. Rav Yirmiyah didn't disagree it could be fixed. He just said the way you're proposing to fix it is wrong because you're doing things out of order. And then Rav Yirmiyah gave a new suggestion. And then for the second time around, Rava himself realized that what Rav Papa is saying is not going to work, and therefore proposed his own suggestion. Yeah. Later on, by the way, when we talk about the sugya, when we have the sugya of what things have to be done in order, we're going to point out, by the way, that the order is supposed to be. Remember, let's remember from earlier the order of how we did things. He shechted his par. He shechted the par of Yom Kippur. Then he went and took the double handful of turdus and brought it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and offered it over there. Then he took the blood of the par and sprinkled it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he shechted the sur and brought its blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And everything continues from there. If we were to say that all this blood is possible and we just have to throw it out and start all over, means he's going to have to go back to a much earlier stage of the Avodah. Means he's going to have to shecht a new par. He's going to have to take a new double handful of turdus and be machter in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And let's remember, just to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without a purpose is not a small matter either. So if we don't have to have him go, so on the one hand, yes, the Torah wants him to sprinkle blood of only par and blood of only sur. On the other hand, the Torah doesn't want him going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and offering turdus there that many times either. So if we can find a way to make what he did so far kosher and not have to redo all of that, then we would rather do that. Okay, let's go on.
Neither here nor there. I mean,
but it is there. The blood is all there. It's just mixed up with something else. Okay. Another case. Misarvulakosis bekosis. Now what happens is he mixed up the two basins. So up until now, we were talking about that the blood was actually blended together. Now we're talking about he lost track which basin is which. Which we had the other day. We said yesterday. That Rabbi Yehuda is in fact concerned about that he might mix them up, which is why Rabbi Yehuda had said there's only one stand over there, and every time he has to pick up one bowl before he puts down the other in order to avoid a mistake. The Chachamim said it's fine, you can have two different stands over there because there'll be labels on the stands and he can tell the difference. And we said also there's a slight difference in color between them and there's a difference in the amount of blood in them. But let's say all of those fail safes didn't work. Let's say he didn't notice the inscriptions on the two stands. The color is only a slight difference in color. So let's say, for example, he's old and his eyes aren't functioning so well anymore. And as far as the amount, let's say some of the blood spilled. So let's say some of the blood of the par spilled. So now you have, they contain the same amount. So now he mixed up one basin with the other. So in that case, noisin. So now it doesn't matter what point in the avoida this happened. Noisin v'choiz of a noisin v'choiz of a noisin shloish upon him. Now what he does is he sprinkles he sprinkles from each basin three times. The idea being, we know he has to do the par and then the sur. So what he does is, he takes basin number one and sprinkles from it. Achas l'mayla v'shev l'mata. If that one was the par, then good. He's done the par first. If that one is the sur, then he's going to say that one doesn't count. Then he takes basin number two and does the same thing. So now if the previous one that he did was the sur, then that one didn't count. And this one counts as the par. So then he's good. And then he'll do the first one again as the sower, and that way he'll have par and sower in order. If the first one he did was par, then the second one he's doing is sower, and then when he does the third one, when he does another one from the original bowl, then we'll ignore that one. So that way, no matter how you do it, it comes out that he's done it in the proper order, par and then sower. And he just has in mind that when he does the first one, if this is the blood of the pyre, then good, this should be the sprinklings of the pyre. And if this is the blood of the sower, then it shouldn't count towards the mitzvah. And similarly with the second and the third one. okay. So what about another case? Miktas domim nis'arvuloi or miktas domim loy nis'arvuloi. What happens if some of the blood got mixed and some not? So in other words, he has two bowls over there, one with the blood of the pyre, one with the blood of the sir. Now let's say some of the blood of the pyre and some of the blood of the sir got mixed in a third bowl. How we're going to have all these things, especially the Kohen Gadol is there alone in the Heichel, how any of this is going to happen. This might be one of those Jerosh V'Kabal Schar things, not necessarily is it ever going to happen in real life, but we have to know what the din would be if it were to happen. So what happens if some of the blood got mixed? Well, pshita, now it's obvious, first of all, ki yohiv mivadoin yohiv. There's no question the sprinklings that he does in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichel have to be done with the blood that was not mixed up. Because even though we said that b'dieved, he can use the blood that was mixed, according to the way Rabbi Yemiya had said it, and according to the way Rava had said it, nevertheless, there's no question that that's only a b'dieved-dika thing, and l'chatchila he should be taking from blood that's exclusively blood of the pyre and sprinkling that, and exclusively blood of the sur and sprinkling that. So there's no question that he's not going to be using the blood from that third basin. Mihu, however, what we do have to ask the question is, Hanach, what's left in that third bowl? Shirayim havu. Do we say that that blood afterwards is considered shirayim? Will yisoid asli? In which case it gets poured on the yisoid later on after we finish, after the Kohen Gadol finishes everything in the heichel. Then we're going to say that he takes the leftover blood of the pyre and the sur and pours it on the yisoid of the mizbeach. This we say in morning davening in Ezra Mekomen Shirei Adam Hayashofach Hayisoid Ma'arav Yisham Mizbeach Achitzon, that the leftover blood he pours on the western side of the yisoid. So now, this what's in this third basin, which he can't use for the actual sprinklings, do we still consider it shirayim as if it wasn't mixed? Therefore, the rule with shirayim is always that they get poured on the yisoid, or do we say that they were pushed off, that they're considered, because you can't use them for the original matanos, therefore it's considered that in effect that they became posel, but as the la'ama, and in that case, blood that became posel does not get poured on the yisoid of the mizbeach, instead it gets poured into the ama, into the water channel that runs down the middle of the azara. So, Amar Papa, so the Papa says, so the Papa says as follows. Now, We're going to learn soon a braisa about what happens if a person, if the Kohen did Kabbalah Saddam, did receive the blood of a korban in different kalim. Now, normally the idea is you shech the korban, and then a Kohen takes one basin and catches all of the blood of the korban in the basin. What happens if he caught it in a number of different basins? Then we're going to talk about soon what happens depending on whether he did the matanos on the mizbeach using the different basins or whether he used only one of them. So Rapapa says, "Afilu lamanda ama kois echad oisa chavedu shirayim." Even according to the opinion in the braisa that we're going to say soon, that one cup or one container is able to make the rest shirayim. In other words, that if he did that, if he received the blood, let's say in two different mizrakas, and then he did all of the applications of blood to the mizbeach, the shtei matanos shein arba, or the four matanos of achatos, or whatever, let's say he did them all from one of those basins, nevertheless, we would still say the second, according to one opinion that we're going to have soon, the other basin is still, Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon is going to say, the other basin is still considered to be shirayim, even though no matanos were done from it. So therefore, so we would say then that the blood in that basin also gets poured onto the yisoid. So the Papa says, that's only hanimili hecha de'iboy lemesav mati yohiv. That only applies in a case like that, where he could have done the matanos from that one. So what do you have? He he did the Kabbalah. He did the Kabbalah of half the blood in one Mizrach and half the blood in the other one. Now, when he goes to do the Matonis, let's say we're talking about a Chatas, and he has to go and dip his finger in the blood four times and put it on the four corners of the Mizrach. So he decided to use only one of those basins and not to use the other one. Fine, but he could have just as well used the other one. He could have used both of them. He could have used one of them. He could have used the other, or he could have done some from one and some from the other. They're all from the same korban, after all. So then you can say, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would say that all of them are considered shirayim. Aval hai, but in our case over here, where some of the blood got mixed up, here, if he wanted to use it for the sprinkling, he would not be allowed to, because we said that hatchila, he's supposed to use the unmixed blood. Like, then Rav Papa says, even Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would have to agree that the blood that got mixed in that third basin is not considered shirayim, it's considered posel of blood, and therefore it gets spilled out into the Amma, which eventually drains into Nachal Kidron. That's according to Rav Papa. Amalei Rav Huna Breider Rav Yeshua Rav Papa, but Rav Huna Breider Rav Yeshua says to Rav Papa, Adraba, on the contrary, we can argue the other way around. Even according to the opinion, the Tanakhama in the Braisa that we're going to learn soon, that says that using one basin makes the other one dachui. So in the case, in other words, where he received half the blood of the chakas in one basin and half in the other, if he did all the matonis from one basin, the Tanakhama of the Braisa says that the other one is not shirayim, the other one is considered dachui, is considered posel, because he pushed it away from being kosher, and therefore it gets poured into the Amma rather than poured on the Mizbeach. Rav Huna Ber Rav Yeshua says, Hani Mili, the Dachi B'yadayim. That's only where he pushed it away B'yadayim by saying, yes, this basin is perfectly kosher to use for sprinkling, but I choose not to use it. I choose to use only the other one. Aval Hecha Deloy Dachi B'yadayim Loy. But if he didn't push it away b'yadayim, here, when it comes to the mixed blood, he wasn't doiche it b'yadayim. He's saying, I would like to sprinkle from it, but I can't because l'chatchila I'm not supposed to, given that I still have unmixed blood. So not necessarily would we say that automatically it becomes posel and has to be spilled out into the Amma. Could be very well that it gets poured onto the yisoid. So what's this braisa? What are we talking about as far as this kois echad oisa chaveri shirayim? So the Tanya, we learn in a braisa. L'maylahu oimav es domo yishvoich. When the posik is talking about a chatas, in one posik it says, its blood he should pour onto the yisoid. It just says its blood without saying the word kol. Ulamata hu oimav, a few psukim later, it says, ves kol domo yishvoich. It says all of its blood he should pour. So what does that mean? Now the two psukim, one of them Rashi says is referring to the chatas of a nasi, of a king, and the other one is referring to the chatas of a regular person. But we're not going to assume that there's a difference in dinim between them as far as how the blood is applied. The Tosfos Hashanim points out for most purposes we say that the chatas of a nasi and the chatas of an individual are the same, only as far as the pasuk says they're different genders. A chatas of a nasi is a male animal, a chatas of a regular person is a female animal. But other than that, there's a hekesh between them. It says ve'im nefesh. And that means vav moisif al inyan rishon. It adds to the previous one. So therefore we say that other than that, the dinim are the same. So what does that mean? So the braisa says minayin l'chatas shekibol dama ba'arba kosis. How do we know that if you receive the blood of a chatas, let's say in four different containers, v'nasin mizeh achas and mizeh achas, and then you did one application of blood from each of the four? So each one, the kohen carried all four with him, let's say, and as he walked around the mizbeach, as he walked around the soviv, he used a different one for each of the four corners of the mizbeach. How do we know that the contents of all of those containers are considered shirayim and get spilled onto the yisoid? Talmud Loima, therefore the pasuk says ve'es kol dama yishpach. So the second time when it says ve'es kol dama, all of its blood, meaning that all of its blood is considered shirayim, and it gets poured on the yisoid. On the other hand, you would think the same thing should apply even if he did the four matanos from only one of the bowls. No, Talmud Lama Vas Dama Yishbach. Therefore, the earlier Pasuk says, its blood he should spill, meaning Hu Nishbach Liyasid, only it, only the blood that was used for daubing on the Mizbeach, the rest of that gets poured onto the Yasid. The Hein Nishbach Ma'ama, the other three that were not used to apply to the Mizbeach at all, those become Dachui and those get poured out into the Amma. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lazar, really, it's supposed to be Rabbi Lazar, but Shimon Omer. No, minayin lachatas shekibol dama ba'arba kosis v'nasan arba matonas ma'echad man shekula nishpach on the yisoid. How do we know that in that second scenario, all of them do get poured onto the yisoid? Tamad lemeves called dama yishpach, because the pasuk says all of its blood, and Rabbi Lazar, but Shimon does not hold that there's a distinction between whether you used one of the kosis for the sprinklings or the daubings, or whether you used all four of them. So we see that there's a machloikas on that. So now, again, Rav Papa says that in our case over here where the blood got mixed in a third bowl, then even Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon is going to hold that it's dochoy and therefore it's posel and has to be spilled out into the amma. And Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua is saying, on the contrary, even the Chachamim in this braisa would agree that in the case where the blood was mixed together, that it doesn't become dochoy because he wasn't doichet via dayim. He didn't say, yes, this basin is available, but I'm deliberately not going to use it. He's saying, I can't use it because it's mixed. So therefore, that's not a reason to say that it should be posel and spilled out into the amma. So the question is, Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon haksiv ves dama yishpach? Nu, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon doing with the pasuk ves dama yishpach, which implies that sometimes you have blood that doesn't get poured onto the yisoid. Amar Rav Ashi, the ma'uti, shidayim shabatzava behema. Rav Ashi says, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon would understand that that refers to blood that remained in the neck of the animal, that was never caught in a mizrach in the first place. That, for sure, is posel, and because it was never acted, no kabbalah, was never done with it. Therefore, sure, that gets poured out into the amma. But according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, any blood that was received in a kli sharis can get poured onto the yisod as long as it didn't become posel from something else. The Rambam paskins like Rav Papa. So the answer would be that the blood in that third bowl that got mixed together would in fact be spilled out into the amma rather than poured on the yisod. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Ira dama per l'seich dama sir. Now, after he did the 32 sprinkling, so far he's done 8 of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 8 of the sur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 8 of the par in the Heichel, 8 of the sur in the Heichel. Now we say he does blend together. Before we talked about if the blood got blended together accidentally before he reached that point. Now he deliberately blends the blood together. He pours the blood of the par into the blood of the sur and then pours it back into the other one. Tosfos Hashanim, by the way, makes an interesting point. Why doesn't it say that he pours one into the other? Why davka the blood of the par into the blood of the sir? And the answer is because the blood of the par, there's much more of it. Therefore, when you pour it in, it's more likely to get thoroughly mixed. The blood of the sir, given that there's less of it, if you pour that first into the blood of the par, then it might not get thoroughly mixed. And now for the next stage, when he's going to be sprinkling on the Mizbeach HaZahav, they need to be thoroughly mixed. So therefore, he starts by putting in the blood of the par into the blood of the sir. Tosfos, regular Tosfos over here, also mentions a point. We also have to say that he pours it in quickly, because if he poured it in slowly, then we would say that adadaba, every drop of blood of the par that would land in the blood of the sir would be bottled. So we don't say that. Instead, we say that, the reason why it's not bottle is because the Gemara mentions elsewhere, ein oilin mevatlin zeh zeh, things that are offered on the Mizbeach are not mevatel one another. But nevertheless, the point is, Tosfos says, anyway, over here, you have such a large volume of blood that's coming out of the first basin all at once, you can't say that it's going to be bottle anyway, even if you didn't have this concept of Oilin Mevachlin Zezzeh, but nevertheless, you're not pouring it over here slowly, you're pouring a huge amount of blood at once, therefore, they're not Mevachlin each other. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tnan Commander Omer Ma'arvin Lekronis. Now that means our Mishnah is therefore going according to the opinion that you mix the blood together to apply to the corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav. Meaning like this. Now that he's done with the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in front of the Parochas, the next thing is he needs to apply the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav and seven times onto the top of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So we're going to deal with the details of those in the next Mishnah on Nunches Amud Beis. But the question is, do we say that he does four? Do we say that he applies the blood of the par to the four corners of the Mizbeach and then the blood of the Sur four times to the corners of the Mizbeach and then he mixes them together and sprinkles the mixture seven times on top of the Mizbeach? Or does he mix them together and apply four, one to each of the corners of the Mizbeach Hazav and seven to the top? In other words, think of it this way. So far, he's done 32 sprinklings altogether. Now, is he doing 11 more or is he doing 15 more? Is he doing four, another four and seven, or is he just doing four and seven? So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that he mixes them together before he starts applying them to the Kronis. The Itmar, which in fact we have a machloikas on that. Rabbi Yoshi of Rabbi Yonason. Chad Oma Ma'arvin, v'chad Oma Ein Ma'arvin. One says we do mix them and one says we don't. Now, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason are Tanoim. Usually we would present their machloikas as a braisa that says that that one says one and one says the other. So either what it is so Tosfos Hashanim says because they're later Tanoim. They're Tanoim, for example, like Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Berebi. So therefore, for this purpose, we treat them like Amoroyim and we present their machloikas as machloikas of Amoroyim. A different understanding of it is that they had the Kabbalah, the Chachamim had the Kabbalah that these two argued, even though there's no braisa was composed to present their machlokas, but the Chachamim had the Kabbalah that Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason argued on that. Now, which one said which? The Gemara says, Tistayim did Rabbi Yoshi who da Amam Ivan. We can conclude that Rabbi Yoshi is the one who says that you mix them. Now, we have like this. We have a machloikas in a few places in Shas between Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshia as follows. When the Torah tells us two things tied together with a vav, does it mean necessarily the two of them together? And if we want it to mean each of them separately, then we need a separate limud for that. Or does vav mean it can mean one or the other? The original machloikas of it, Rashi refers to a Gemara and Sanhedrin. The pasuk says, if a person curses es aviv ve'es imay. Now, does that mean that he's only chayiv misa if he curses his father and his mother? No, we know that if he curses only one of them, he's chayiv misa. So how do we learn that? So Rabbi Yoshia says, not because if we only had those words isha sheyikalas aviv ve'es imay, then in fact you would think that he's only chayiv misa if he curses both of them. The reason we know that he's chayiv if he curses only one of them is because the pasuk afterwards continues aviv ve'imay kilel. So therefore, you have the word yikalel adjacent to aviv, and the word imay adjacent to and the word imay adjacent to kilel. So therefore, that teaches us that each one by itself he's chayav for, or each one by themselves he's chayav for. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yoshia says that a vav between two things would mean the two of them together, unless you have a way of knowing from a different part of the pasuk that it means them separately. Rabbi Yonason says, no, a vav doesn't necessarily have to mean two things together. It could mean one without the other, just the opposite. If the pasuk says yachdav, together, then it means that the din applies only to the two of them together. For example, where the Torah says, loisachrish b'shur uvachamur yachdav, you're not allowed to plow with an ox and a donkey together. So Rabbi Yonason would say that because it says yachdav, then it means you can't plow with them together. If it hadn't said the word yachdav, then it might very well mean that you're not allowed to plow with an ox by itself or with a donkey by itself. So now applying that to our Gemara over here, when the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol should take midam hapar u midam hasor and put it on the corners of the Mizbeach, so what does that mean? Does it mean that he has to put the blood of the par and the sor together, or does it mean that he puts them separately? So tistayim de Rabbi Yoshi hu da'ama ma'arvin. We can conclude that Rabbi Yoshi is the one who says you blend them first and then you apply the mixed blood to the four corners to Omar, because after all, we know Rabbi Yoshia says, Afagav Deloik Siv Yachtav, even when the Pasuk mentions two things and it doesn't say the word Yachtav, Kiman Dichtiv Yachtav Dami. It's as if it said Yachtav. So, in other words, the same way as he says by Oviv and Imay, that even though it doesn't say Oviv and Imay Yachtav, Nevertheless, we would have thought that it means he's chayev only if he curses both them, and only because the pasuk later on says aviv v'imek kilo doesn't mean that not. In the same way, Rabbi Yoshia would say over here that when it says that the lokach midama par umidama sir, then it would mean the blood of the par and the blood of the sir together and places them on the kronos. The Gemara says not necessarily. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yonasan who? Not necessarily. You could even say that our Mishnah and that says that you blend them would be according to Rabbi Yonasan. Shiny hocha dichtiv achas. Here it's different because, after all, the pasuk says at the end of Parashas Tetzaveh, it says that Aaron should accomplish kapara, should be mechaper on the mizbeach hazav achas bashana, once in a year. In other words, so once, not twice. So even Rabbi Yonasan might be saying, therefore, that even though it says here midama pora midama sir, and according to Rabbi Yonasan's shita, conceivably that could mean separately, or conceivably it could be together. But since it says achas bashana, necessarily it has to mean that they're blended together. Okay. So the Gemara says now. So our answer, in other words, was that Rabbi Yonasan would say that that Rabbi Yonasan might also be the one who's saying that you blend them together and you do them together. So the Gemara says Tanya Deloike Shinuyan. Now, on the other hand, we learn a Braisa not like our explanation, but rather like our original Hava Amina, that Rabbi Yoshia is the one who says that you blend them, and Rabbi Yonasan says we will apply them separately, because we learn a Braisa. When the pasuk says V'lokach midama pora midama sir, means Shiyu mu Ravid divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says means you have to mix them. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Mazeh b'fnei atzmo, Mizeh b'fnei atzmo, or Mizeh b'fnei atzmo. Rabbi Yonasan says you do each one separately. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, I mean, given that Rabbi Yonasan said, even Rabbi Yonasan is not saying that when it says two things of the vav, it necessarily means separately. It could mean separately, but it could mean together. So why over here, Dafka, would he be saying that it has to be, why over here would it have to Dafka be separate? And Tosfos says, because he figures the same way as in the Kodesh Kodashim and in front of the Parochas, we had par and sir separately. So he figures the same way over here, when the Pasuk's not specifying which it should be, then it means that it means also for the Kronos, it means that they should still be separate. When it comes to the last seven, then everybody agrees that they're, when it comes to the seven, to the last seven on the top of the Mizbeach, then everybody agrees that he mixes them together. So the Braisa continues, Omalei Rabbi Yoshia, Ba'aloi Kvar Nemar Achas. So Rabbi Yoshia says, how could you say you do them separately? The Pasuk says, Achas Bashana, meaning only once a year is blood being applied to the four corners of the Mizbeach, and according to you, it would be twice. Omalei Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan answers back, Ba'aloi Kvar Nemar Midama Por Midama Sir. After all, the Pasuk says, from the blood of the Par and from the blood of the Sir, which seems to imply that they're separate. If it meant to blend them together, the expression would have been midama por v'hasur. Im kein lomo nemer achas. So in that case, that says Rabbi Yonasan. So why, according to me, does it say achas? Loy malach achas v'loy shtayim midama por achas v'loy shtayim midama sur. It just means from the blood of the pot itself, you do only once on each corner, not twice on each corner. And the same thing with the sur, you do only once on each corner, not twice. Tosfos Hashanim says, I mean, what's the havam? I mean, why would we think that? So why would we think you do it twice? It doesn't say anything about doing it twice. The reason is, Tosfos Hashanim says, let's say we have a case, which we're going to discuss later on in the parak. What happens if the blood spills before he has a chance to finish the matanis? So now he has to go get another par and start over again. So then, later on in the parak, we're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that he doesn't start all over again. He just starts from where he left off. So that would be, according to this opinion over here, then we would say that he's not going to do two, because if he does a new application of blood to the kronos of the Mizbeach HaZahav with the new par, then it comes out, or the new sir, then it comes out that he's doing it twice. And the Torah is memayat that with the word achas. But according to Rabbi Yonasan, it's not meant to be that when you're doing it in the proper way, that you should be doing only one application of blood on each of the corners from blended blood of par and sir. Rather, it means one of the par and one of the sir. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach. Now we learn another braisa that says, V'lokach midama pora midama sir. When it says you should take from the blood of the par and the blood of the sir, that means, Shiyu Merav and Zebazeh. It means that they should be blended together. Ata Omer Shiumu Robin Zebazan. Now you're saying it means that they're blended. How do you know it doesn't mean each one separately? Tamad Lema Achas. Therefore, the Pasuk says Achas. And the Gemara says, "Of stomach, Rabbi Yoshia." Now here we have a stam braisa like Rabbi Yoshia, who says that because it says achas, then it means that he's only doing once together of the two of them, rather than one separately from each one. Tosfos actually gets into a discussion over here that this braisa maybe agrees with Rabbi Yoshia as far as the din, but maybe he's disagreeing on the source of the drasha, because after all, Rabbi Yonason, we said before, is primarily learning it from the fact that he says a vav doesn't mean together; it can mean separately. And as Tosfos had said, we learn it from the fact he learns Yumad Sosim and Amafodosh because by the Poreichas and in the Kodesh Kedoshim you have them separate. Therefore, here they still have to be separate. In any case, we're saying that they should be blended. In any case, Rabbi Yoshia says that when it says a vav, it means automatically the two of them together. So he doesn't need the word achas to learn that. He's only saying, what are you going to do with the word achas, Rabbi Yonason? So, but he himself is learning rather from the vav. So therefore, Tosfos says this braisa might be agreeing with Rabbi Yoshia, but not necessarily for the same reason as him. Be that as it may, the Or Stam Mishnah, we said, does go like Rabbi Yoshia. And in fact, the Rambam Paskens that way, that he does do that. So therefore, there's 43 applications of blood, not 47. He does the 32 in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in front of the Parechas. Then he blends them together. Then he does 4 on the four corners of the Mizbeach. And then he does 7 on the top of the Mizbeach, which those 4 and those 7 we'll discuss tomorrow, Best Hashem, along with the rest of the, along with some other dinim over here about mixing together the blood.